Radio Influence. The future is now.
A championship. Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Everybody, welcome. This is Crush Performance. We are your weekly source for performance information. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. The website is crushperformance.com. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Crush. And if you go to Facebook, Crush Performance is great, or Jeff Crush. If you want to get to our podcast, right on our website, you can download them. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you name it. We're on it. And Connor, we're building a really, really good international listener base. I'm pretty proud of this, you know, as we just try to spread the good word. As we talk sport performance every single week, you know, we've got a great listenership on the podcast, man. How are you doing today?
Good, Crush. Good. Good to be here. NFL season underway. We got CFL, NHL's getting close. Oil Kings starting tonight. It's all coming around.
It is. This is one of my favorite times of the year, without question. And today I love this show as we sort of kick off the Crush NFL season. We're going to talk about what's going on in the NFL? Teams to watch, players to watch, and for me, storylines. I'm more about the storylines when it comes to the NFL, probably because I've been a Raiders fan from day one. So I'm sticking to the storylines, man. We're also going to, later in the show, Dave Jamieson's going to join us as the CFL makes a very bold midseason move in terms of their rules with the ban of full contact padded practice. They're eliminating it during the season. Now, is this a little too much? Is it just right? Or is it not enough? Listen, I'm all in favor of anything that's going to improve player safety. There's no question about it. But I wonder if we might have overshot the mark here. Is there a downside? So I'm looking forward to talking to Dave about that, Connor. What's your initial impression here before we get into it later in the show?
Well, I mean, I've seen they've talked a lot of NFL camps about that as well. And from defensive coordinators' perspective, they say, well, you know, we only use pads once a week anyways. And, you know, I can just say from the Chargers, Gus Bradley, he said he just likes it for pad level. His players just, you know, staying low. For me, I played football for a few years. And for me, I think, you know, you know, the guys who are taking or tackling, at this level, they know what they're doing. But I think it's good to take hits every once in a while and, you know, get used to taking that hit on the shoulders, the neck, being able to, you know, so you don't have issues in a game. I think it might hurt the receivers or the running backs more than anyone.
Yeah, and we'll get into this later in the show as we're joined by Dave Jamieson. But just the body positioning, that close quarter contact, the avoidance that goes on, there's a lot that you can learn in a full pad practice. So again, I'm right down the middle on this one right now.
Yeah, and we've seen it before, just with the new rules, the length of practices, no two-a-days. The old school football guys are talking about how tackling's becoming kind of a lost art form, and this isn't going to help that. And then you just wonder, you know, lack of form, maybe it leads to more injuries. Guys just throwing their head in there rather than a wrap-up tackle.
And that's exactly my fear. So it's going to be a great conversation. And again, something to watch in the game of football. Listen, this move is getting international press. It's on every major newspaper in the United States. ESPN's all over it. The Concussion Legacy Foundation is loving it. They've got some great data on it as well. Everywhere they play football, they're talking about this move in the CFL. So we'll watch that with interest, and Dave Jamieson will join us. Hey, later in the show, hockey season's right around the corner. If you're a hockey family, if you play hockey, listen, I'd like you to tune in because we're going to talk about a safety checklist that can help you be as safe as possible as the hockey season gets underway. We're going to be joined by the experts down at United Cycle. Chris Goodison's going to join us to talk about what you can do to help your young player or yourself be as safe as possible before you hit the ice. There's a lot of new technology right now in terms of helmets, mouth guards, neck guards, visors, and there's some unbelievable new developments in terms of skate fitting. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But right now, Connor, I want to get to this. We're going to dedicate this first segment to the Crush NFL What to Watch this season. So I want to start with this. If I were just to ask you the general bold question, Connor, what are you watching in the NFL this year? And I'll just preface it with this. The NFL is a big machine for me. I I'm a Raiders fan from day one. There's not been a lot to cheer about other than maybe a few exciting matches here or there, games here or there, matchups in terms of player to player. But the game is big. There's so much going on. I've tried to decipher and look at a couple storylines that I'm really going to focus on this year, and I've done my best shot to pick the top five teams this year. But if I were to ask you in general, what are you watching in terms of the NFL this year? What would you say in the big picture?
I think the teams that have kind of facing or have relocated, I think the Los Angeles Chargers, just hearing that their game tomorrow, the first game of the StubHub Center in team or LA Chargers history, hasn't sold out yet. It's a small stadium. And then you look at the Rams. They have $6 tickets in Los Angeles and can't sell out. And that's something I watch for. Football in LA. We already know the Rams and Chargers are probably, in terms of football, third and fourth behind USC and UCLA. So that's one thing I'm looking for. And then the Raiders. They're moving to Las Vegas. Are the fans going to show out this year? And the Raiders are going to be a very good team, so I expect they will. But that's got to be something that's tough to face with going forward, that your players are all going to be gone to another city. And then you have to worry about sticking with the team. So that's one storyline I watch. Of course, the Patriots, can they bounce back? It wasn't a great start for them versus Kansas City last week, but I don't think anyone's going to look too much into that. That division isn't that tough. But I always like to watch the elite players, especially as they get older. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger. How are they going to do? Are they still the top guys, or are the Andrew Lucks, the Cam Newtons, the younger generation, are they starting to take over as the face of the NFL?
Interesting stuff. And you almost, it's like we're mind melding here. Maybe it's because we've been on the air so long together. So my storylines and my things to watch in the NFL are very, very similar. We just had a great conversation earlier about the NHL and the NHL actually growing their market in terms of overall revenues. The NHL is doing a very, very good job on the business front. And they've really got a handle on their television now, their local markets, and they're doing a good job. I've really thought that move to Las Vegas is a good one for the NHL as a whole. I don't know how the players are going to survive there. They're going to have to be disciplined and just be educated. But the Raiders going to Vegas. Vegas is turning into a sports town, and I think anybody that's going to be in there is going to really, really get some profile. But the fans, and I agree with you, that move. The move is one of the top stories this year in the NFL, I think. And to hear that they haven't sold out yet, that's alarming.
Yeah, it is, right? And you know, the LA wants to see a winner. They've got plenty of other things you can do in that town. Sports alone, and then you take it away from sports, you know, entertainment capital of the world. So there's a lot of things to do there. It's a little scary, I think, for the NFL if they can't get people in the seats, especially for the Rams in that huge stadium. I mean, it's a college stadium where the Trojans play, but to be selling $6 tickets and not sell them,
yeah,
that's a bad sign.
Yeah, and the Rams are one of my teams to watch this year simply because of the coach. We'll talk about that in a minute, because my second storyline to watch in the NFL is very, very similar to yours, but I'm more focused on the quarterbacks. The old guard versus the new guard. I mean, look, we have Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Manning, River. These guys are all approaching 40 years old. 40 years of age. And it's going to be interesting to see how effective they are this year. We know, again, we've talked about this for every sport. There's a very interesting trend we're seeing in professional sports. We're seeing the great players carry on longer into their, or extending their careers longer into, you know, where players would typically be retired and gone. These guys are still playing, but not just playing, but playing really, really well. But Connor, we're also seeing these great young talents come in and sort of recalibrate the game. And when you look at these old veterans who are still on the field, you know, approaching 40, this will be the first time we've had, I think, this many quarterbacks sort of this late in a player's life cycle. I think we're recalibrating the life cycle of the players, and that has a lot to do with the sports science behind the scenes. But how about these young guys coming in? Look at Tampa, you know, with Winston, Tennessee, the Titans. I'm watching these guys for sure with Marcus Mariota. The Raiders, Carr. Like, look, there's a lot of great young quarterbacks, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Browns. These guys are 26, 24, 21 years of age, and they're playing at the highest level of the game. Is it too soon? We're going to watch and see. You know, we talk about this with all the players. What happens when you put a player into a high-pressure situation before they're really ready for it? And if they do survive and do well, oh my goodness, can you imagine a 21-year-old who stays healthy and plays till he's 40? That's a 20-year career. I mean, it's really, really interesting. So I'm with you watching the old versus the new and how that's going to play out in the league. No particular team, but I think it's an interesting storyline.
Yeah, you're right. And some of the guys who you mentioned, Mariota, Carr, already have suffered broken legs in their career. So that's almost a storyline in itself. How will they rebound this season? Both looked good, again, going up against each other in week number one. But yeah, Carson Wentz out in Philly. And then, you know, there's Mahomes from the Chiefs, who Alex Smith has already said next year he thinks he's off that team. You've got Deshaun Watson with the Texans, who picked up the win on Thursday Night Football. There's a lot of nice young quarterbacks coming into the league.
Well, I'm like, and I like the depth, because listen, football's a unique sport. There's not a developmental system. These guys, I mean, let's face it, college is the developmental model for the NFL, right? So to see this depth, and you just mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes in preseason, this kid, he's 21 years of age. He is special.
Yeah, I think his dad was a pitcher in Major League Baseball.
He was.
He's kind of got that Brett Favre gunslinger mentality.
Oh, my God.
And he's mobile, too.
Exactly. It's going to be fun to watch, right? These young kids coming in. And I think he's going to be the man next year, if I'm not mistaken. But the Chiefs are a team to watch as well, I think. You know, this year, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then, of course, you know, we talk about the players. But, Connor, I wanted to get your impressions of this, the new coaches. I think this is really, really exciting to see some new blood coming into a sport like the NFL. I don't mind, of course, the old veteran coaches and administrations floating from team to team. I've never really understood it, but I do understand, you know, for players, we've seen it many, many times where change is sometimes just really, really good. A chance to reset, recalibrate, and start new. To see some of these new coaches coming in, Connor, and taking over. And some of these guys are young, but the Rams, the Browns, the Bills, the 49ers all have first-year coaches. And I think that's going to be a really interesting story to watch. I think this is great for the sport.
Yeah, young minds. Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers and Sean McVay with the Rams. Two guys, offensive minds. And then you have Anthony Lynn with the Chargers, who's never really, he went from a running back coach to an offensive coordinator to an interim head coach very quickly. I like his attitude at being a Chargers fan. I like what he brings. Vance Joseph in Denver. It's crazy to see where you're seeing teams have less and less patience with their head coaches. It's 2 to 3 years. And if you're not winning, these owners and presidents and GMs, they want to move on, which I don't know if I like. I like how Carolina stuck it out with Ron Rivera, and it turned out it got them to a Super Bowl. But a lot of these owners are thinking, if you don't turn it around in 2-3 years, we'll find someone else who can.
Yeah, and that, I'm kind of afraid for these young coaches for that very reason, because if they can't get it set up and done earlier in their careers like this, if the ownership doesn't have the patience, it could be the end of their coaching careers, at least at that level. So there's a downside to it for sure. But here's what we know about the NFL. If you look at the franchises who have had continued success, let's say over the last 20 years, you're going to see something very common among them. Yes, you get a team that sort of shoots in once in a while. You get those sort of anomalies that come up and really show well. But all the teams that are constantly competing at the top of the league, there's one thing they have in common, and that's consistency inside the organization from the top down, certainly from the coaching crew and the core of players. And if you don't have that, especially in a game like football, it's very, very hard to succeed. It's just fundamental. So I'm really interested to see if the teams are going to be patient with these young coaches.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, three coaches in the last 40 years
what
or whatever.
What do you
think's
going to happen, man? Hey, listen, I'll just tell you a story. When I was with, from my time at the start of the Blue Jays to the end of the Blue Jays, we had six different managers. With change of ownership and two different GMs, there was no chance. Like we never got a chance to really get a consistent flow going. I mean, every time a new manager came in, and they're all great baseball people, don't get me wrong, everybody was excellent, but nobody was given a chance to really sink their teeth in and build a system and a culture. And that's what you need in today's day and age. Well, you've needed it forever since the beginning of sport. And there's, you know, that's maybe even more critical in the game of football because there's so many moving parts.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I don't know how the comparable would be, but when you're a head coach, I mean, you've got so much to implement. You're doing your system, and every guy does it differently. And football can be done so differently. There's different base defenses, so many different types of offense. I think in baseball, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a little more simpler than all the changing parts in football because you have so many positions
no
and all
question.
That. But yeah, you're right. I think that, you know, consistency is key. The Steelers, Patriots, all these teams that have, you know, continued to be the kind of the staple franchise, the model franchise, Green Bay Packers. They let their head coaches stay there for a long time. They develop the players the way they want. The GMs don't leave, right? It's kind of, you know, it's the envy of everyone else when you look at the Clevelands and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They just can't figure it out, whereas some of these teams just nail it.
It's not rocket science, man. I mean, look, take college sports. Now, don't even get me going on college sports because that's way too big of a, that's way too big of a machine for me to follow. So, I, you know, I'll follow it kind of passingly. But you know the teams who are successful, and you look at the coaches and the coaching staff, they've been there forever. There's very little turnover because the coaches are successful because they've had a chance to be successful, build that recruiting system, and success breeds success. So that being said, the storylines for me are the quarterbacks, the old versus the new, the rookie coaches, most certainly. Connor, your teams to watch, your top five teams to watch this year.
Oh, top five teams to watch. Well, number five, because I'm a homer, I'm going to be watching the LA Chargers, of
Love
course.
It.
I got to see what they're going to do. Just because, you know, I just want to see what happens. I'm a hometown, just kind of a homer, so I'll go with them. Number four, I'll go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
And love it.
I just wonder if Alex Smith, I mean, he looked great week one. I don't know how long that's going to continue, but he looked great in week number one. And if things go wrong for him, does Patrick Mahomes get thrown in there? I think it's something you have to look at. Number three, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For Jameis Winston, he's taking a step forward. I hope he's my fantasy quarterback. They have Mike Evans, who I think is top three receiver in the league. They bring in DeSean Jackson. They draft O.J. Howard. They've got Chris Godwin. They've built up that offense around him, which, and they have an offensive line, too. So I think they've been doing things the right way. Number two, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons because I want to see if they can bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, I like it.
We've seen consistency in the AFC. It's always the Steelers, Patriots, or wherever Peyton Manning is. Those are the teams that represent the AFC. In the NFC, it bounces around a little bit. Yeah, Green Bay's been there twice in the last decade, but it bounces around. So I want to see if they can maintain kind of the lead in the NFC. And number one, the team everyone hates, the Dallas Cowboys. I want to see what happens with Dak and Ezekiel Elliott. Does Ezekiel Elliott midway through the season just get pulled off and have to serve his 6-game suspension? Could that happen? I don't know. But I like to watch those guys. I really like Dak Prescott. They've got some fun receivers to watch. Cole Beasley, Dez Bryant, of course, Jason Witten, the ageist wonder. I think that's the team that intrigues me the most.
Right. I like it. I like that list. We got a couple similarities there. So for me, my number five team is the Rams. And I want to watch the Rams simply because of what's going on with them internally with the youngest coach in the history of the league. Right when he was hired. I want to see how that comes together and if they're going to have the patience to give him the time to build what he wants to build. I've listened to his interviews. I've heard him speak. I like what he has to say. I'm watching the Raiders for a couple of reasons. Carr's one of them. I think they're going to have a chance to do something this year, but building up towards their move, I think they're just going to get some momentum going here. So I want to watch them for sure. And I'm watching the Chiefs. So those are my five, four, and three picks. And my top two teams, again, the Cowboys, watching them for the very same reasons you are. And I'm going to watch the Patriots because I just want to see if this franchise can do what they set out to do every year, and that is win. Trying to decipher what goes on inside there, I'm telling you right now, there's something special and a lot to be learned. So there you go. That's our NFL overview, our Crush NFL overview for this week, for this year. And if you have any ideas, let us know. You can text us 101260. Coming up after the break, the CFL makes a bold mid-season rule change. No full pad contact during the season in practice. So what does that mean? Has the CFL overshot the mark? It's getting international recognition in terms of the news. We're going to talk to Dave Jamieson about it right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
And welcome back, everybody. Jeff Crichel here, the con man. We are your weekly source for performance information. Questions? Comments, smart remarks, get to us, crushperformance.com. You can get all the hookups there, as well as our podcast. You can get it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you name it, we're on it. We're talking football today, and the CFL this week made a very, very bold move that's getting international attention, and that is the stop to full pad practices during the season. And I'm wondering if maybe it's not a little too much. I'm on the fence. So I had to reach out to one of our great football minds. Dave Jamieson joins us. Dave, how are you doing today?
Excellent, Crush.
Thanks for joining us, Dave. Hey, listen, I've been actually really looking forward to talk to you about this because, again, spending time in pro football with you, I really enjoyed it. I know you've been around the game for years and years. And I just wanted to get your impressions right off the bat. This is, first of all, a bold move. Mid-season, but I do appreciate everything or anything that we can do to improve player safety, but I wonder if this doesn't overshoot it a little bit. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm of the same mind, Crush, and here's my first reaction. I said this on air in my show. As soon as the CFL and the CFLPA announced it was, great, it's improved player safety, because when you hear the headline, now there are practices without pads, and that means there are practices without contact. How can that be a bad thing for the sport of football, which, as you know, it goes about its business with the threat of lawsuits and worse, perhaps, hanging over the entire sport. So that was my initial reaction. Now, I've had a bit of a rethink. I have talked to some people both in the game currently and a gentleman who used to coach in the CFL on the offensive side of the ball, and I said to him, look, if this goes down, and they weren't wearing pads a lot. Like, for people who don't follow football, they were only practicing in pads during the course of the season, outside of training camp, on 17 occasions. So they would have pads on, but they weren't going full-out tackling, but still, there was contact. And I spoke with this gentleman just a couple of days ago, and I said, well, it's got to be the offensive and defensive lines, because they are the ones who engage on every play in physical contact. I mean, a receiver can go downfield and not be touched. A defensive back who isn't targeted on, he may not feel contact on several plays. And I said, well, that's got to make technique really difficult to teach in practice, because you have to, at some point in the game of football, Crush, you've got to, as you know, you've got to engage physically. And those guys on either side, O and D, they're always engaging and in a repetitive fashion. Helmets collide on every single play in the line of scrimmage. It cannot be avoided. So once you dig a little deeper, and then you hear the complaints, and Jason Moss in Edmonton was probably the most forthcoming in his displeasure with the announcement when it came down, and yet you had some old school guys, and old, truly old, and Wally Buono saying, it's not a bad thing. And it's interesting, I don't know if we're going to arrive at an answer now. I think what you're going to see is, as football continues to evolve, what's this looking like 2 years out, 3 years out? Are we immediately going to notice a change in the quality of play today? I know the Eskimos are not winning, but they're coming back in this game against the Argos. What's happened here has had no effect on the quality of play we're seeing today. However, what's it look like? It's going to become, as it was put to me by this former coach, it's going to be a speed game. Like, it's going to be football with incidental contact. It's going to be, and the fast will survive. And so that might be okay. As consumers, we might see a quicker product. We might see more scoring. We might not necessarily see better football. But I think, as we're learning, Crush, we've got to change the way we're going to look at this sport in, the generations to come.
Yeah, I agree. We're talking with Dave Jamieson, host of the Dave Jamieson Show here on TSN 1260. Dave, it's interesting. I'm with you. This is going to be a long game for me as well. But behind the scenes, if you've ever been around to see these guys practice and train, Dave, offensive line guys, we are really strategically working at foot placement on contact and body position in relationship to the opponents. And we're looking at hand placement and punching. And we can practice that till the cows come home. But until you actually get engaged and actually execute those skills, you can't master them. So I'm a little worried about that. And on the other side of the ball, listen, you've seen the work that goes on with the defensive backs. Boy, We spend as much time on footwork and body positioning and pushing off and getting in their contact. You know, we train that stuff, even from a strength and conditioning side, certainly from a skill side. If we're not able to actually engage and master those skills, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a little worried here, Dave.
Well, Crush, it was interesting. You raised the defensive backs and the receivers. And I said to my the gentleman I was speaking with, well, how bad can it be? You know, the receivers, they run routes in practice. And he said, no. Like, here's the thing. They watch a lot of film. Football lives and dies by the film. The analysis of the film, the quality of the film, and I'm not talking about how, if it's in HD, I'm talking about a player's, you know, what he has done on film in the game previous, in the practice previous, or in his college career. And I hadn't thought of this until this gentleman raised it. Here's the interesting thing. You're building a team. You're getting guys from U.S. college, maybe the former, you know, NFL guys who you probably have a better understanding of what their ability is. But let's say a guy's coming out of an NCAA program or something less, and he's coming to Canada. And he comes in during the season. Remember, players can hit in training camp. They can and have to engage in contact in training camp. But as soon as the season starts, that stops. The pads come off. You add a player 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 weeks into the season, you have no way to evaluate that guy when he comes in his ability to tackle. Sure, you've got film from him playing at, you know, Upper Appalachia State, but how does that translate when he arrives on a Sunday night flight out of Minneapolis, gets to the stadium, you got to go out and put him on a practice field? In what? He's going to be in shorts and a T-shirt and a helmet. You're not going to get a sense whether this guy can tackle at the pro level. You know, it's funny, Milt Stegall said on Twitter just when this went down, he goes, hey, if you can't tackle at this level, by the time you get to the pros, you shouldn't be here. I respect Milt Stegall. We should. He's a Hall of Famer and had a brilliant career. But I think that might be a little too glib, a little too quick, because there are guys coming in. And, Crush, you know, a football roster churns quickly, and guys are coming and going, and you got to have some way to evaluate it. And I worry that they may have taken away an ability, a key component in evaluating a player's strength, if they're not able to do this in practice on some level. Now, it's interesting. Don Matthews, the late Don Matthews, who I worked under for 2 years in Edmonton, he hated the contact in practice. He went to great lengths. Guys, stay on your feet, because bad things happen when offensive and defensive linemen fall down. Stay on your feet and save the, he didn't use this word, save the crap for game day, because it's called a game check for a reason. We don't pay you to practice. We pay you to play. And so, you know, it's funny. You're going to, you know, I believe, as you said, long game, you're going to have people now in charge of football or soon to be, who they will go through this sort of cycle of, this will be normal for people who have come through, you know, again, you know, they're going to struggle with this a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting move. Again, I'm all for improving player safety in any way, shape, or form. But I'm wondering if there's not a dark side to this. We're talking with Dave Jamieson, host of the Dave Jamieson Show here on TSN 1260. Dave, a couple of final points maybe. You know, you look at Jerry Rice, and you talk to players inside of the game. But one of the things we know about Jerry Rice and his famed career, you know, over 20 seasons, one of the things he said is he never practiced the game. He only practiced parts of the game. And he practiced for his position, the critical parts, and he voided contact. And that's one of the things that he voided contact in practice. And that's one of the things he attributes the length and his long-term health to. But boy, I can't get my head around. And it gets going full circle again. I hate to repeat it, but when an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman can't engage and learn off each other, you know, over the course of a week, I'm not saying we have to go full pads and bust it out, but boy, just in terms of body position, gripping, you know, keeping your timing down in terms of your footwork, it's so, so critical and so finite, those little things that make the elite players elite. I just can't see how you can have the practice pads and the dummies, but they're not reacting to you, and you don't really have to react to them. And that's one of the arts of the game, especially on that front line. Boy, it's going to be interesting to watch, isn't it?
Crush, and listen, kudos to Randy Ambrosi and the CFL Players Association for arriving at this. Player safety, Brian Ramsey, who I spoke with, he's the CFLPA executive director, a guy I know from my time with the Eskimos. He was there as a player. Now he's running the PA. He's a very intelligent, forward-thinking guy. Good on Ambrosi, a former offensive lineman, now the commissioner, to arrive at this. Nobody, I don't think anybody is saying, let's make the sport less safe. But here's the thing, Crush, and I've talked to some people working on the concussion protocol with the CFL, and just in, you know, anecdotally, just, I know we want a straight line from contact in football to concussions and then on to CTE, you know, like a through route, a straight line, and it's not that easy.
No.
I mean, I'm not here to say I don't believe in the science. I do believe in the science very passionately, but there is not, I mean, by the time a player gets to the pro ranks, be it the NFL or CFL, how many concussions might they have had before now? You know, and here's the thing, we don't know when the odometer started clicking over. Right, we know knee surgeries, we know, you know, and I know they do track concussions, but not very effectively in, you know, Pop Warner, high school, junior college, major program, right? There's going to be gaps in there, and you can have a concussion at 15, 16, that could be terribly serious, and someone may never know. And the cumulative effect, it's not just what happens in the pro ranks. I think it's over this sort of lifespan of a player. And again, this is an uneducated guy saying this, but someone with a lot of passion for the subject, because I think it's important for the, you know, future of the sport. So, you know, I know we want easy answers, but they rarely are.
No, for sure. And I agree with you, the on the developmental side of the game, that's where we need to attack. And I can see this rule happening maybe in high school or maybe in the Pop Warner in the developmental levels. Actually, you know, it was interesting with all the talk about concussions and player safety. One of the U.S., one of the major schools in Kentucky, their defensive coordinator said he would love to see no football before the age of 8, you know, the 6 to 8 year old. I mean, and that's where it's going. And then, of course, the discussion has come around. Do we ban high school football or turn that into a flag football league? Because you're right. Most of these players are damaged well before they get to pros, Dave.
Yeah, it's there's sadness there because you don't want anyone to have to go through what some of the, you know, players in the pro ranks, and we know the celebrated stories and they're tragic. But it's, you know, you have to remain hopeful. You have to remain hopeful that the stakeholders involved, the leagues, the players' associations, they're all trying to get to a place where we can still play the sport, or the, you know, athletes, men and women, can play the sport, and women are out there doing it too, and they can do it with a relative degree of safety. It'll never be guaranteed, but you want to be able to go in with all the information possible for the participants. They can make decisions, or their parents can make decisions on whether or not they feel that the risk is worth it, and then we got to move on.
I agree, Dave. We will watch with great interest, and you're right. Kudos to the CFL and the CFLPA for being a forerunner on this, pushing the game forward. I guess that's what it's all about. Dave, appreciate your time on this beautiful Saturday. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks for this.
Thanks, Crush.
All right, everybody. Well, there you go. Interesting conversation, and we will watch with interest. And on the topic of player safety, if you are a hockey player or a hockey family, you'll want to stick around for this next conversation as we go through a checklist that may help you maximize your safety this season, even before you hit the ice, right here on Crush Performance, coming up right after this.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Everybody, welcome back. Jeff Kershaw here, the con man behind the glass. We're your weekly source for performance information. Hey, if you want to get to us, do so. The website is crushperformance.com. You can get our podcasts there, download them, subscribe to them on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you name it. We've got it covered. Great conversations today as we sort of give the Crush overview on the NFL season. really had a solid look with Dave Jamieson there on the CFL's move to ban full contact practice during the season. And Connor, I know you're a big football fan. You've been around the game. You played a little bit. Again, I'm sort of right down the middle on this one. I totally love anything that's going to help improve, you know, player safety. We've seen great moves in the games of hockey. We've seen, you know, some really unique sort of rule changes in soccer. U.S. soccer banned heading for players under 13 years of age or under 11 years of age. They're trying to push that to 13. Baseball's made some interesting moves with collisions at home plate and the sliding rule into second. So, you know, sports are adapting, and I think that's truly what it's all about as we're moving forward. But I hate to see a situation where we might go a little too far. If that makes some sense to you. Does that kind of make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it on Sportsnet with Dean Millar this week, and I just thought, you look at rugby. They don't have any protection on, and they're great wrap-up tacklers. Like, football could learn from that. You throw the helmet on guys, and I think at times, it definitely becomes a weapon. So I think, you know, going back to the younger ages and even in pros, you got to kind of make sure everyone continues to work on the fundamentals, tackling, wrapping up, and not, you know, just throwing your helmet in there. So I'm split on it too. I love what the CFL did by throwing in the extra bye week. I think that's a very good idea.
So do I.
Giving the players the extra day on the Labor Day Classic. I mean, making them play Monday and then Friday was just idiotic to me. You've got to give these guys a chance to rest and have some recovery. So I think they're taking the right steps that way. But this one, I'm not sure on. I like what Milt Siegel said about, you know, if you're playing in the CFL, you know how to tackle. Well, you got to stay fresh. You know, you don't want to get rusty and get lazy. And for me, I can tell you, playing football, the first time I took a shot to the shoulder, it stunned me. I couldn't feel my fingers. Took the more in practice, got used to it. And eventually it just kind of was one of those things. So I think you do build up strength in certain parts of your body and you learn how to properly take a tackle. Like taking a hit in hockey. You don't turn your back to the boards. And I think they're just things you can learn from padded practice.
Yeah, no question. And I'm going well beyond tackling here. Tackling's one small part of it for sure. And, you know, the one thing about full pad practice is just that engagement on the line. You know, the offensive guys and the defensive guys, that's more where my thinking is going. I have no problem. Just forget about tackling. You don't need to tackle in practice. That does not need to happen. But your offensive linemen, you need to engage those defensive guys. And I don't think you can do it without pads. You can't truly do it without pads. Somebody's going to get hurt, or it's not going to be intense enough to really prepare you for the game. That's the only thing. And I could be wrong here. This might turn out to be really, really good. But I'm trying to get my head around it at this point, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, we're not going to know, and there could be so many variables. I don't think we'll ever truly know if it does make a difference taking the pads away for one practice a week or whatever it might end up being. It's an interesting thought. And I think the reason I'm behind it is that the Players Association was good with it. And so was the commissioner, who's a former player. And, you know, they'll work on technique and practice. The physicality might not be there, but hey, maybe we'll find out. If all of a sudden you see quarterbacks going down because offensive linemen aren't physical enough and you can't simulate game speed what these defensive guys are doing, then I think quickly you have to change the rule back.
Yeah, great leadership in the CFL here. You know, this move has gotten international headlines in every major paper in the U.S., and I think the NFL is really looking at this closely. Listen, the NFL and the CFL are really working together to come up with systems to improve player safety, whether it's sideline assessments of concussions, whether it's the process of dealing with head injuries and recovering from head injuries, return to play, as well as, you know, some of the medical side, the evaluation side of players as they head into their careers. So there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and it's nice to see the NFL and the CFL sort of partnering up on this, and it bodes well for the game across the board. And player safety is king. Well, there's another sport that's getting underway here where player safety is paramount as well, and that's a game of hockey. We're joined right now by Chris Goodison, the manager of the hockey division for United Cycle, to talk about what I think is a very, very important checklist. Chris, thanks for joining the show today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, listen, since I was able to sit down and visit with you guys for the NeuroShield presentation, it really got me thinking about, hey, what can families and players do to get ready for their season in terms of improving their safety? And, you know, it got into some really good conversations with you guys who really understand the equipment and the equipment technology right now, Chris. Because
right.
Let's face it, we've seen something beautiful happen in the last 5 to 10 years in terms of technology coming into the equipment world to improve performance and player safety. Don't you agree?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, really, it starts with the helmets, right? Some of the foams that they're using now, multi-directional impact protection. I mean, it's compared to what I grew up with, and I'm sure what you grew up with, right? It's hands above.
Yeah, it certainly is. So let's talk about this. As families and players are getting ready for their season, you know, we got into a great conversation about a potential checklist, a checklist of equipment that could potentially maximize safety before you even hit the ice. And I'm all about just doing everything we can. So to get our listeners and the hockey families and the hockey players out there just thinking about this stuff, you mentioned, I guess priority number one or checkbox number one, which is the helmets. What should we be looking for in helmets here, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you want to make sure you have a properly fitting helmet, right? I mean, helmets now, they go up to $300, $350, but if that helmet doesn't fit you correctly, then it's not going to protect you correctly. So, I mean, each helmet on the wall fits everybody a little bit differently, so it's critical that you find the helmet that fits you the best.
If you were to run through the checklist, what would you check off? The helmet being number one, what would follow just to get everybody's sort of mind in the right area?
Yeah, well, one of the misconceptions is, I mean, the cage, right? I mean, if you're playing minor hockey, you need to have facial protection. And a lot of people don't understand that the fit of the cage is just as critical as the fit of the helmet. If you have a miss or a cage that doesn't fit correctly, you can really injure yourself, right?
Yeah, and visors as well, I would imagine, for the older players,
too.
Right?
Yeah, you got it. You want to make sure those visors are on there nice and tightly. I mean, they're only going to come down so far, but you can adjust how far away they are from your face and also how close they are to your face. So, I mean, the closer the better. Think of a guy like P.K. Subban. He's got that visor that comes down to his mouth almost, and it is like his nose is touching that thing, and that just helps prevent a stick or puck getting up underneath of it.
Yeah, and that's right. And, you know, these companies who are, you know, producing these great pieces of equipment, they're not just throwing them out there. There's a lot of thought and research and science going into the cages and the visors as well. So it's something to really look into if you're a consumer getting ready for the game, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So what would be next on the list, Chris? I like how this is going so far.
Yeah, so next would be mouth guard. You know, we've seen in the past year or two, there's been some people going away from the mouth guards. You know, there isn't a study that proves that mouth guard will prevent concussions. I mean, there's studies that it's theorized that it'll help prevent a concussion, but nothing has been proven. What mouth guards do is they protect your teeth, your gums, the insides of your lips. I mean, in high impact sports like hockey and football, you know, I think there's something that shouldn't be skipped.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Chris, there is some data out there. You know, when we talk about, you know, our power athletes, there's research out there that can, you know, sort of lead you down the path of thinking that, hey, the mouth guard, not only in terms of safety, in terms of your teeth and even concussions and injury, but also in terms of performance. There's some serious research
right
out there that shows, hey, there may be some benefits to getting the proper fitting mouth guard in terms of performance, especially for the speed and power athletes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the first guy that comes to my head, it would be Jose Bautista on the Blue Jays, right? He's always chewing on that mouth guard. And I mean, like you said, I've read studies that have said that a mouth guard that aligns your jaw correctly helps align the rest of your body and you perform better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a fact for sure. So getting that mouth guard fit in. There's so many. And here's the thing, Chris, in terms of mouth guards, there's so many options out there. So is there sort of a theme a family or a player should be looking for when it comes to mouth guards?
I mean, you want something that fits comfortably, right? Like any piece of equipment, if it's comfortable and you're not thinking about it, then you can focus on what you're doing on the ice or on the field, right?
Yeah.
There's some new mouth guards. No, I wouldn't say new. They've been out for 3 or 4 years. They're very low profile. They're almost completely flat in the package, but they mold into your upper teeth and they actually stay in place. They don't flop around. So the player is less likely to, you know, be worried about it falling out of his mouth or her mouth or chewing on it, right? That's always a big thing with parents, kids chewing on their mouth guards.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we have helmets, visor, mouth guard, and now neck guard, right? I mean, these are four check boxes. If you check these off, you're doing everything you can pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even for the older players, we recommend the neck guard because it's just that extra level of safety.
Yeah.
Accidents can happen at any age, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, and then of course we're short on time here, but I want to get to the latest advent. This is a really, really interesting thing with about a couple minutes left here, Chris. The NeuroShield, great piece of equipment.
Yeah, so this just came out. We're pretty excited about this. This is something that Bauer has come out with, and it's a collar, if you will. It actually, they look like a set of headphones, but it's a collar that goes on your neck, sits on your neck, and applies light pressure. And what it does is it increases the amount of blood fluid that's between your brain and your cranium. So the theory behind it is that it uses your own body's physiology to give you a little bit of extra protection, give your brain a little bit of extra protection.
And that's the NeuroShield by Bauer. Chris, hey, thanks so much tonight. Hey, if people want more information on this, where can they go?
They can go to our website. They can call us. They can come in and chat with any of us. We'd love to see you.
Great. Thanks, Chris, so much. Great checklist for all the hockey families out there.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
All right, everybody, we got to cut out really quick here. Thanks for listening today. Got to thank Dave Jamieson and Chris Goodison. And again, crushperformance.com for the podcast. We're coming up with some great performance shows in upcoming weeks. Sleep. We're going to be looking into the start of the hockey season. And we're also going to be looking at the Major League Baseball wrap-up as they head into the postseason. Which team got the biggest bang for the buck? That's it for this week. Talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to ride.
This is Jim Fannin, America's Zone Coach, and I'm excited about bringing my new podcast, The Jim Fannin Show, to RadioInfluence.com. Each week, we're going to talk about the zone and how this mindset can help you in all facets of your life. I'll give you all the tools you need to change your life and help guide you to become your genuine, authentic best self. With the only proven blueprint for attracting the zone mindset, I've helped transform millions of lives. In my 40 years of experience, I've coached CEOs and senior executives from 350 of the Fortune 500 companies in 50 different industries. I've coached professional athletes, Olympic gold medalists, Hall of Famers, all pros, all stars, entertainers, and so many more to help them gain the tools and techniques to create a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. And now it's my privilege to bring these methods to you every week, along with some of my champion good friends as special guests. If you want to get in the zone in all you do, check out the Jim Fannin Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.